Ali, hello.
Our guest is going to join us shortly. How are you?
Tell us. Who is the guest? Tell us.
Guest is Anthony Catanese, the director of Sodomaniac and Girls Just Want to Have Blood, and the upcoming Caddy Hack. It's like a horror film that Caddy is hack. Yes, it's sort of like Gremlins meets Caddyshack, where the gophers are evil and they kill you. He's a good guy. I worked with him like over 20 years ago on Toxic Avenger 4. He's an interesting guy. He's got a great punk rock band called Pissed. And coming a really long time. Let's see. He should join us any minute now.
And I think I'm here.
Hi.
Yes, he's here.
Hello.
Welcome, Anthony.
How are you doing?
Good. Anthony here doesn't usually, so he's probably like,
this is really too early, especially on a Sunday, on the Lord's Day.
But you are in New York, right?
Close. I'm in Trenton, New Jersey. It's just as shitty.
Oh, yeah. Okay. So you're not in Los Angeles, and it would be 6 a.m. in the morning.
No. I'm in Jersey.
So, was it your idea to come on the show, or did Gary ask you?
Gary asked me.
Okay, cool.
Yeah, you know, it's been over 20 years. Ben.
I know, it's so weird hearing your voice.
Yeah, I know, it's been a long time, huh?
I thought it'd be a lot deeper after all this time, but yeah, good for you.
No, I sound pretty much the same, honestly.
Did you... follow the show? Did you ever heard us?
I've listened to it because he brought me up to it, but I'm familiar with both of you, so yeah.
Okay, so we normally
let's have Anthony tell us a little bit about him. I'm very excited about this film, Caddy Hack. Tell us about this.
It's just a dumb comedy about, imagine if it was Caddyshack, but the gophers were actually killing people. That's basically what it is.
Yeah. Exciting. Very cool. And your other films like Sodomaniac and Girls Just Want to Have Blood, those are pretty cool.
Well, thank you. Yes.
Yes, yes. We love them.
Did you saw them, Gary? Like you, how you saw them? Actually, films like this, where are they coming out? Like on Shutter or on DVD and Blu-ray still, or what?
Yeah, they're... Sodomaniac, unfortunately, is just on DVD because of the subject matter. No one will put them out. But Girls Don't Have Blood and the other ones, they're all put out on DVD. They're on streaming services and things like that. The original title of Girls Don't Have Blood was called Teenage Bloodsucking Bimbos. But they changed the title to make sure we can actually get it in like stores and stuff like that. And it's from Wild Eye Releasing. The company that puts them out is called Wild Eye Releasing.
Yeah, Uwe had that problem too with the Fuck You All. They had to change the title just because it was so hard to get the distribution with the word fuck in the title.
Yeah, and with things like that, I'm always like, there's some movies that get away with it, and then there's times where we're told, no, this can't happen. And you're like, but there's three other movies that fuck in the title, and they're on YouTube, and they're on Netflix. They're doing this. But you know how it is. It's because big companies and things like that, if you're a little guy, they don't give a shit what you're doing, you know?
Yeah.
I had the problem right now with my first Shift film I shot in New York. And there was like, we did a trailer, and we're very happy with the trailer. And then my friend checked it for delivery to the streamers, right? So if you send it to Google, Apple, Amazon, whoever, they want all green band trailers, and they don't show red band trailers. And now our green band trailer we just cut in case. I don't want that to get ever aired. I don't want that to get that the world watches the trailer because it's total shit.
Right.
Right. So it's like you cannot say fuck. You cannot say, or you cannot have any violence in a way with blood or anything. So the trailer, the Green Brand trailer, when if I would put it up on Amazon and I watch the trailer to check if I should buy that film, I would definitely not buy the film. If I watch the Red Band trailer, I would definitely watch that film. And so it's like absurd, and you're totally right. I then watched another trailer this week came out, Green Band, but that big, big, big film with Taylor Johnson, whatever, with Russell Crowe and him, like that action film where the lion attacks him and stuff.
Oh. And
it's maybe a total piece of shit, but the reality is that trailer is way harder. It doesn't show blood, but the trailer is very violent, and this gets Green Band.
Right.
And I basically have to cut every single gunshot out of my trailer. Or a blood script, or when I have a guy who cuts his own arm like a crazy guy. And so all of this is out. Then like a 15 years old guy comes in a mobster situation and they turn around and just hit him in the face and knock him out. It's out of the trailer. So, you know, all that stuff now made the trailer round. All that stuff made that trailer good. Now the trailer is just cops talking in a way, you know,
yeah.
And people lifting up a gun but never shoot it and stuff. So it's horrible. I'm very mad about it.
There's no action.
Yeah, exactly.
Okay. Right. And we can't, guys like me and you can't show that. But Hollywood, they can show everything. They can make a whole movie about a guy who cuts his arm off, win an Academy Award. We can't show a guy who cuts his arm off in a trailer, you know?
Yes. Yeah, it's ridiculous. You know, and I'm very mad about it. Okay, but I hope I get away with the Red Band trailer. At least YouTube, we can just put the Red Band trailer up, and that is how I want to basically handle it. You know,
they can until they, like, you know, somebody complains or something. All these companies made their money off the backs of people like us until these other people come in. You know, Hollywood comes in, and all of a sudden, you can't do anything. Remember Netflix? Used to be like, I saw Teenage Vomit Dolls on Netflix. Trauma movies are on Netflix. Now, they wouldn't look at any of these movies. They wouldn't even look at any of us anymore to even put our movies on there, you know?
Yeah. No, that is the thing. That is what I actually said in our podcast years ago. Exactly what you just said is I really hoped that Netflix keeps their dirty genre heart. We do it different as the studio's attitude. And what they were in the beginning, as you said, they showed horror, whatever. And now they turned into Sony.
Right.
But with more productions from around the world. But overall, they're all producing now the same stuff. Right, I think Apple produces the biggest crap, to be honest. They're producing only star-driven, boring, totally political correct films. You know, like, but for Apple, it's just a hobby. You know, they make more money in interest in their company as they spend for movies, so they don't really care. But Netflix, I think their really market share would be to deliver, of course, now a little more mainstream stuff too, but to really have like their own like horror section, their own like, you know, where they go like R-rated and even X-rated, whatever, who gives a shit? Then you have to put another code in. But it's pissing me off. Or whatever, and NC-17. And
I don't think any streaming service has like NC, you know, other than Pornhub has like NC-17 or like a guy saying adult material for adults to watch. I don't think anybody has any kind of thing where an adult wants to sit down and watch a TV. It ain't there. Nobody has it. Maybe Tubi. Yeah. Maybe.
Yeah, the only NC-17 film that's on streaming that I know of is Showgirls Amazon. And that's it.
Yeah, but when I say adult, I don't mean like pornography. I just mean like I'm an adult human being. I'm a grown up. I want to watch adult content, which just means not like PC crap, or, you know, I'm just be challenged a little bit. You know what I mean? Like, I'm an adult. I want to sit and watch adult programming, you know, like a Woody Allen film. To me, that's an adult film. You know what I mean? It's just smart. You have the brain to it. You know what I mean? Nobody has anything like that anymore. Everything's so safe, or you're watching children having sex like this, Euphoria show and stuff like that. What's the name of that show? Euphoria?
Euphoria, yeah.
Yeah, Euphoria, yeah.
But then they'll yell at you for watching it.
What? Ubi, you love that show, right?
I like. You know why? I mean, look, Stephen, the showrunner, Levinson, he was in my film Stoic. He played one of the lead guys, my jail torture kind of film I did. And so I know him personally. I think he is what Euphoria is, you know, like he was totally under drugs and all kind of craziness. He's the son from Barry Levinson, from the famous director.
Yeah.
And I think he did with Euphoria what he did now with The Idol 2, this kind of crazy world he was in or is in for a long time now. And so I liked Euphoria because it was ruthless. And it was one of the few shows, I think, where, I mean, HBO, what they do normally has quality.
Oh yeah, they've always had those shows remind me of like something like Harmony Korine would do. Are you a Harmony Korine fan?
Yeah. I saw a couple of those.
Yeah,
Spring Breakers.
Gummo.
Yeah.
Is there in US the Gangs of London show? They are on HBO in Europe. It's a British show from the guy who did like Prayers in the Dawn, like that guy that it, what the film, what is in a Thai prison, in a Thailand prison, that was so unbelievable brutal. And that guy did that TV show, Gangs of London. And it's really like people get chopped in pieces in front of camera without a cut. So it's super gory and violent. I love that show. And it's 2 seasons already. And I don't know where it's running in the US, but that normally comes more from HBO. And I hope that Netflix will do the little more B-movie violent world, you know? Because that shows are off, like, you know, Euphoria or whatever. This, each episode is $10 million.
Right.
You know? So, and that, but there is a world where you live in. I in a way did movies for $60,000 and I did films for $50 million. But overall, a good told story, especially in the horror genre, doesn't need necessarily millions of dollars to be effective. And so I think that it's too bad that they're now so star driven. Every streamer just wants the big stars and they overpay them. And and that is it. And then everything gets basically PG-13 level.
Right, because I feel like in the streaming thing, it's like when you're scrolling through these, I don't even know how to say posters or images, these thumbnails, you need to see Will Smith there to make you stop, you know? Because people are just like, blip, 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 just scrolling through these images. And if you don't have somebody there that, they know they're not going to stop and look at it, you know?
Yes.
Oh, yeah.
You need to start about this stuff. It's not the old days when you'd walk around a video store for 2.5 hours and, you know, look at the back of the box, pick it up, look at it, do this, do that. You know, it's like you're just sitting there scrolling. Constantly, nonstop. So you need to see. But I don't blame people, you know. It's why you end up comedies or things without people you don't know, you end up skipping pie it because Jennifer Aniston's on third one over, you know.
Well, there's so much interesting stuff out there that doesn't have stars that people pass by just because, you know, and I think that's a shame, you know, so much talented material, so much great stuff, like your film.
I don't blame people for skipping my films. Don't worry about it. Don't have to hate them for that.
Oh no, Anthony worked with me at Troma, and he got his start. We were both production on Toxic Avenger 4, right?
Yes.
Yeah, it was greatest, very exciting.
My 15 minutes of fame. And the great.
He was the Mad Cowboy, right?
Yep, I was Mad Cowboy, the breakdancing painter, and the gay porn star in that movie.
Yeah, no, I mean, what do you think about the strike now going? What do you think, how is this one? Now the actors, they delayed the strike. They're still negotiating. So what do you think, what will happen? Will they ever make a deal, or what is the situation?
Well, as a person who's never made a dollar from filmmaking, I hope they keep striking. And eventually they'll have to make a deal. They'll have to make a deal. Because they're going to, the thing is, I think when the strike starts, and I could be wrong, you know more than me, when it starts, they still have all this content. Eventually, they're going to run out of content and they're going to need people, or we're just going to end up with more reality shows, which is going to be a nightmare.
Yeah.
And people are going to be sick of things and go, we need content. We need this. We want this. You know, once they can't have a new Spider-Man movie, someone's going to sign a contract. You know what I mean?
No, but we talk about it a long time now. Like, for example, now the new Indiana Jones, also not a big hit when you see how much they spent, right? They make $60 million on the whole weekend, and it was $290 million to make the film and $150 million to release it.
Oh, yeah.
And you had that now weekend after weekend after weekend that big tentpole films didn't. They, of course, they are in a way a success, but on the way how much they spend, they're not a success. And think about the original Indiana Jones film. The first one was $40 million to make, and now 290, and that you cannot like explain with the inflation every year of 5%. You know, it's like the only reality why all that films are so expensive now. Is the enormous amount of money the producers and actors grabbing off the top. So, you know, and I think that whole discussion with the strike, with the writers or with the actors is kind of two-faced, you know, because you and me, and we were all a long time around, we know that whoever is in the film industry, 95% of people who are in the film industry, I'm not talking about the crew. There are a lot of crew people. They're making okay money, good money. They work the whole year. But when you talk about creative, like writers, directors, and actors, 90% of the people basically are in the business, but they're never making any money.
Right, because yeah.
Just they're taxi drivers working at Starbucks, but they are actors, whatever, right? So, and then they're happy to be in the SAG at one point because they had one film, one series where they got 5 days, and now they joined the union. So, and then you have Meryl Streep and others talking for them. That is ridiculous, you know? Like asking like the 1,000 actors signed that letter to the SAG to say, go on strike in solidarity to the writers, whatever. But the reality is, the people, like the low-end people who get a day job here and there, they cannot even afford to say no to anything. They have to say yes to everything because right. They barely make any money. And the second is, all that fucking actors would never give a dime away from their totally overpaid salaries. And I think it's ridiculous. Why you pay? I understand if a Ryan Reynolds makes $30 million on Deadpool because Deadpool makes $800 million box office. Right. But if he makes a film for Netflix, what is basically getting uploaded on Netflix and 2 weeks later, nobody gives a shit about the film anymore.
Right.
They still pay him $30 million for this. And that is ridiculous.
He gets the same price for a Netflix movie as he does for Deadpool.
Ryan Reynolds. Yeah, of course.
It's ridiculous.
They match the salary. No, but that is the thing. So, but instead of Ryan Reynolds getting cut in half in his annual salary and it gets distributed to the, let's say, poorer actors, you know, that they don't get $380 a day, that they're getting $420 a day instead. So that can only work for the studios because they have to pay everything. If they cut or do a baseline for how much money we shouldn't spend on any actor for anything more as $10 million, period. And I think that is like where you need a cartel, where the streamers and the studios, and most of the times the streamers are owned by the studios, should be like sitting there and saying, look, here's the final offer. We give everybody more at the bottom, but we also give everybody less on the top. And, you know, you think yeah, Robert Downey Jr. would never played Iron Man if he wouldn't get more as $10 million. Of course, he would played it.
You know? Yeah, when he played Iron Man, please, man, he needed the job. He needed the job.
Yeah, for the last Iron Mans, he got 50, 60 million bucks per film. I mean, sorry, 80% of that films with all that actors who make so much money are done by stunt people.
Right, right.
Ryan Reynolds has that suit on when he jumps over a hood of a car or something. That is a stunt double. So, I mean, what the fuck?
Are you serious? That's not him?
Yeah, of course.
No, I'm kidding. I'm kidding. But yeah, you I'm green.
but I feel it's so like two-faced, that whole point. You know, the whole point is so bullshit. Leonardo DiCaprio, all the people, whatever they're acting like, they are there for the poor people. And then they're jumping in their private jets, talking about the environment
right
at the same time. And you know, and they are not willing to give a dime to the studios back so that they can like pay a little more for the poorer people. The same with the writers. You have writers, they're making so much money because of the in the networks that they're repeating their shows for 25 years. You know, Seinfeld, whatever. Like Larry David, I mean, he made $1 billion on Seinfeld. So, and that is the thing. It's like, and other writers sitting in a writer's room getting $3,000 a month. Then the show they worked on turns into a mega hit. And they say, guys, we have the second season. Now we give you $4,000 instead of like $4 million. You know, like they don't never make the jump to the owner of the property level. And I think there is the thing where a little more socialism would help everybody. You know, because don't forget, Netflix has 30 billion debt. They made
I don't think Netflix in real life has ever made money. I think they're always in debt, but they just keep putting stuff out. You know what I mean? To try to make, you know, get.
No, I know, but think about it. It's like this kind of like, you remember Facebook? Facebook in the beginning only tanked all the money, and then at one point it got massive, massive profitable.
Right.
And Zuckerberg got like super rich, right? So, but that moment at Netflix never happened. You know, now Netflix, they have whatever, 200-300 million subscriptions signed and sold. And they are now on the end of the line. Like, they will not get 1 billion subscriptions because it's just the global, where are the people, right? In India or China, where like half of the worldwide population live, basically, they just don't have $10 a month. So, yeah. You know, and that is the thing. It's like, so instead of now, if I would be the Netflix boss, I would think, okay, how can I make the same quality, or how can I make the same kind of, that I'm excited that the people want to watch Netflix for way less money?
You know, I don't think they think like that. I think they think, we did this, how can we throw more money at something to get something like that again? I think that whatever happens, whenever something good happens, I feel like they forget why it was good or organic. They just decide to throw money at it. You know, like, imagine you have, like, you know, the grunge era, you have, or punk bands. It's like the music industry throws money at people to create punk bands, but forgets that the reason the punk is good is because it's organic and it comes from the people, you know?
Yes.
Or the independent scene in the 90s. Like, look at all these independent films coming out. Well, I'm Miramax. Let me throw money and put David Schwimmer in a movie and call it an independent movie, you know? they don't actually get why independent films are great, and they try to manufacture it, and everything's manufactured now. They're just trying to manufacture everything. They're trying to manufacture bad movies now, for Christ's sakes, you know? Like, let's make a B movie. You can't make a B movie, you know? Like, it has to happen organically. That's the they just
right? Yeah, like, if it's self-aware, it's no
that's right. It. Like, it's like Sharknado, the first one. Amazing film, because they thought they were making a real movie, and I never laughed harder in my life. After that, you know what I mean? They knew they were in on the joke, and it's like, no. Like, they're making a Toxic Avenger remake. How good is that going to be?
Nah.
Yeah. You know what I mean? Warner Brothers is making Toxic Avenger. How good is Hollywood going to do a Toxic Avenger movie? Let's get real here.
It's got real money. I've seen that movie. Rip. That's going to be fucking crazy.
And they've been talking about it for what? How many years now? Why is it not out yet?
No, but look, to say, look,
that's probably.
But what I want to say about about this kind of genre, why Netflix and how much money could Netflix actually lose with it? To say to 20 horror directors per year, we give you each $1 million, surprise us. You know, make the new Saw, make the new Blair Witch, make whatever, the new Toxic Avenger. But $1 million for a lot of directors is a lot of money.
It and would be. It'd be awesome, but that's not what they're into. In Hollywood now, they would rather spend $5 million or $1 billion to make three. They're just looking for billions of dollars. I don't even. There's no mid-level movies anymore. There's no Sister Acts. There's no. You know what I mean? Like those movies. You, My Cousin Vinny's. When was the last time you went to the movies and just saw like a mid-level movie? No, everything's like this epic, world-changing movie. You know, you can't even just, other than maybe Wes Anderson, you can't sit down and just watch like a mid-level movie anymore. They spend all their money, they put all their chips in one place and go, we're going to make $1 billion on this. You know what I mean? And then they lose it. Especially now, because everyone's getting sick of it.
Yeah. Every weekend now, another $250 million film. Every weekend. And that is the reason Indiana Jones doesn't work. Because for and before, when you see the last few weeks, you had The Flash, it bombed. The next animation film, it bombed. Now Indiana Jones will totally suffer because what happens next week? Barbie is coming. What tracks super high? What is also, I don't know, for me, it's the biggest miracle at all how a Barbie movie can make a big smash, but it will. And then it's Mission Impossible coming.
So, and don't forget, the problem with Barbie, you have Oppenheimer coming out, right? The Nolan movie.
At the same weekend.
I know. And I'm torn on that. And seriously, this conversation, I'm torn. Because I don't really care about Oppenheimer at all. I don't want to see it. I don't like science. I don't care about that stuff. But I'm going to buy a ticket for it, but then go see Barbie. Because I don't want Barbie to get the IP, the money. You know what I mean? I don't want a big IP to get the money. I want to give it to an original. I'm being dead serious. I want to give it to someone making original films, but I just don't want to see that movie. So I'm going to buy a ticket for it and go see Barbie because I really want to see Barbie.
Hey, but I don't want Barbie more power to you, man. I've done that all the time. I buy tickets for R-rated movies just to support R-rated movies, you know?
Right. When I went and saw, what was that last movie I saw? The Cronenberg movie. What was that called?
Oh, yeah.
I can't even remember.
Viggo Mortensen?
Yeah.
I didn't saw it, actually. How was it, actually?
It was, I don't know. This is getting recorded. I don't want to lose my cred. It was. I'm glad I went to see it. And I went in the theaters. We left like a Memorial Day party. I'm like, I got to go see this movie. It's probably only going to be in the movies for like 2 days. I got to go see it and give it my money. And I was so excited. And it wasn't, I mean, my wife still hates me for taking her to see it. But that's enough. But I'm glad, you know, I mean, I'd like to go see original movies in the theaters when I can. And I don't live like in like L.A. or New York. So when they come around here, I try to make sure to give them money, you know.
Yeah, I think Cronenberg has kind of lost his stuff. I saw Cosmopolis, and that was a piece of fucking garbage, man.
Yeah, you know what I mean? It's like, but I don't know. It's just the fact that you got to give them the money just so they can, like, get some original shit still happening, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
I don't care how shitty it is. Here, just take my money. Don't give it to Spider-Man. I don't need another fucking Spider-Man movie.
No. That's the thing. Like, more and more of the same. And I watched here on Amazon now Creed 3 recently, right? And like it's so,
diverse. Well, let me guess, he won at the end, right?
Of course, but of course they have various other problems, right? That the problem is that, for example. So the Creed actor, and that was the first, like, basically Rocky spin-off where Stallone was not involved anymore. Not a producer. He didn't get anything. And because the main actor didn't want him anymore. And he directed it, too.
How can you do that, though? How can you take something from Stallone?
Did you read the whole thing that Stallone was never participated on the success of Rocky? It was always Irvin Winkler. And
So even the first one, he wrote the first one.
Yeah, I know, but he never got ownership or copyright thing. And they totally screwed him over on this. But the reality was also, don't forget how his career started with Rocky One, right? So he put everything in a basket and he did it. And then he had a career because of Rocky Number One. And then, but he never was part of the franchise in a way. He got hired again then as an actor and all the other ones. So, but this time he was completely out. And so the first thing what was totally pissing me off is they have a daughter now, he and his girlfriend in the new one, Creed, right? And then she is deaf. Like they do like the hand language.
The daughter's dead? Oh, no, deaf.
She's deaf. Like she cannot hear or talk, right? And to be like, I mean, you know, it's an Amazon production now because it's MGM. And Amazon has that straight crap that in every Amazon production, you have to be so political correct. And so if you cannot have any whatever transsexual in it, you have then this. You have a handicapped, in a way, child. And of course, they working on it. They talk with her also in that hand language. And they think, but you know what? If I watch a fucking Rocky film, I give a shit. I'm focused on who is he beating and what is the drama in the ring.
I'm here to watch boxing.
It was so unnecessary, put on the show additional. It was so bad. And then, so this story this time is his old buddy who went in jail, where basically covering up for him, comes out of jail for 20 years later and wants to fight him as the world champion. And then they have the boxing fight, but Apollo Creed or Adonis Creed, he wins, and then they're friends again in the end. But it's so predictable, and the boxing is really bad. You know, when you watch the boxing scenes, you think like, what the fuck is this now? Where they do the speed ramps, and of course, everybody hits everybody in the face 100 times without any defense, and they just take the hits, or they're going down, and they're totally out, and the slow-mo, and you think like, oh my god, he's dead, right? And then but on seven he gets back up and he keeps boxing. So everything what never happens in the real boxing world, you know, because normally when you watch the good boxers boxing is they never like put the hands down, and they're just taking it on the chin to show I can take more as you, because then the fight is over. So there's so much who pissed me off on that film. And but that is exactly what you said with that medium-sized films. They got so much worse that the studios only bet on the tent poles, because they know, Indiana Jones, maybe we have only a $60 million opening, but we don't have a $6 million opening.
Right.
So, they think the big bet is still the better bet. And that is not so wrong. But as you said, in the early years, 20 years ago, whatever, 25 years ago, you had the Dances with Wolves and The Godfather and Apocalypse Now and French Connection and Harry and Sally or whatever, right? Yeah. You had shit that made that cost 10, 20, 30 million, but then it made $250 million box office. And that movies will not... Wes Anderson, guys like this who make like hack cinema, whatever, will never pull out shit like this. They cannot do it. They can do only art house bullshit, what gets a theatrical release, because so many stars playing for fun.
Right. And back then, too, movies had time. Like now, you have one day. If you don't make your money on the opening Thursday, they say you're killed by Saturday. Yeah. And then you're dead. And Disney's buying up every movie theater, so you can't even get small movies in there that be in for a couple months. You know, like, do you remember when maybe a movie would come out in October and you saw it in January and finally, and you know what I mean? Like, it had time to roll out and people got time to talk about it.
Yeah.
Now, by the time you're talking about a movie that's out, it's already on, you know, Netflix. And it's not the same thing.
Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah, fucking Fast and Furious this year. That took 3 weeks for streaming.
Right. It used to take 9 months to hit video. I used to work in a video store. It'd be like, okay, it was just coming out on pay-per-view, and then you have 90 days. And it was 6 months after it left the theater, and it's already in the theater for 6 months, so people have time to talk and see it. And it would be a whole year before it came out on video. Now it's like, oh, it's in the movies? I take a fucking nap, and there's already a sequel on video. You know what I mean? Or on demand, you know? I'm like, holy shit, what the fuck?
Well, the word of mouth... what developed in earlier years over weeks has to now develop
the day it
comes out or it's over, right? So it has to be basically the Thursday, and then the Friday, everybody has to Twitter and post everywhere, right? Watch the film or you're dead. But I think also there are also the movies to blame. And I agree with what Gary said with, for example, Cronenberg or whatever, or David Lynch, these people did amazing films, but not anymore, and not anymore since 20 years. And a lot of this directors, then they're getting the next invite to the Cannes Film Festival. So, you know, I could never break into this world, but I made my best films after I made my biggest films, you know? So, and I think that is the thing where, It's this circle, like the perpetuum mobile, right? Like, you're David Cronenberg. No matter what shit you shoot, you get famous actors doing it because, oh, you're David Cronenberg. Then the famous actors think for themselves, the film is maybe not so good. But then you still get the theatrical release because you have the names in, and you get the A-list film festivals pushing you. But in the very, very end, it counts only, is the film good or not? And it's not, you know. Yeah. So, and that is the thing. It's like, it's artificial bullshit. It's like a intellectual porn cinema. What nobody gives a shit about. How normal, like, you don't reach normal viewers with it. And they think, wow, great. No, they think, what the fuck is that? Boom, gone. So, and I think.
But I don't think anybody ever really gave a shit. You know, the normal viewers never gave a shit about Cronenberg and weird movies that we like. You know, like, I think even back in the day, like, we're talking when cinema was better or whatever, I still think nobody really gave a crap about the stuff we do. You know, we had to fight for that, you know? Which is why I still try to support everybody who does this stuff.
Okay.
Yeah, but look, Eastern Promise, like, from Cronenberg was great. With Viggo Mortensen as the mafia guy, whatever.
Oh, that was a great fucking movie. Are you kidding me?
Yeah. Oh, History of Violence.
Yeah, History of Violence. So, you know, there was so much like stuff. He did very, very good films. And I for a while, I really loved it. But some similar to David Lynch, right? So Blue Velvet, Wild at Heart. He did some real good films. But then they all like went kind of sideways. You know, it's the same. Like, look at Francis Ford Coppola. He made a few films. They're in my top five of all times. You know, like The Godfather 1, Godfather 2, Apocalypse Now. But Coppola did also films. I think they were total crap.
Years, I hope he's not listening. Coppola, if you're listening. I mean, he hasn't made a good movie since, what, 1985 in real life?
Absolutely. And I bet that the film he just did, the $100 million
movie. Oh, The Metropolis or something like that.
It will be an absolute, my guess is it will be unwatchable. But he still got all that actors, completely ignoring that the times of The Godfather and Apocalypse Now are way over. And I think it, you know, I mean, as I said, like, he has three movies in the top five of my life, and I watched like 15,000 films. So, but still, you have to be also, in a way, every film should get judged separate and not get pushed forward. Based on the retrospective name somebody has.
Right.
You know,
at least I don't think Coppola gets away with that anymore, though. I don't think Coppola is much in the right word to say foray of people. Like, no one's like, Coppola, he doesn't even come up in conversations, I don't think, when you talk to filmmakers much anymore. Do a lot of people still bring him up?
Yeah.
I don't know.
I mean, he only comes up when film fans talking and saying,
right, that's what I'm saying,
whatever, right? But a lot of other stuff he did is like forgettable, whatever, you know. I think one of the few directors who stayed on, of course, Martin
Scorsese.
It's Martin Scorsese, for yeah. example. So I think he definitely, every film he brings out, yes, now with the streamers and whatever, The Irishman is not like Goodfellas, but it's still a very strong film. It's very.
I love that movie.
Yeah, I loved it. I totally enjoyed it. And so he doesn't drop the ball totally and is now shooting things where you think, what the fuck happened to him now? So it's like he still tries to tell big stories, interesting stories. He's lucky. Of course, he gets DiCaprio and so on. And that makes him keep going. But I think he didn't age in dementia, you know, that you feel now, okay, he's done. No, I think he still can spit out one or two more really good films. And of course, Clint Eastwood. You know, I think now is really done, right? I mean, the last thing I watched from him, like where you feel really, I mean, he's 92 or 93. At one point, it's really over. But every Clint Eastwood film you still can watch. It's still entertaining where he only directs or, you know, or he plays a little part. It's
as long as dads are still alive, Clint Eastwood will have a job. He's like a dad. Like, I guess he was my dad. I got dad. Clint Eastwood has a new movie. Yeah, let's go see it.
Yeah. No, I mean, it's great. And it's doing now Jury Number 3 or something, like a court drama he's shooting right now.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Did you see The Mule? Did you see that one?
Yeah. Yeah.
It was good, right? But it was kind of like, oh my God. It's like, it felt like it was 9 hours long. And
yeah. No, and I thought he's dying during the film in a way. But
yeah.
You know, I mean,
the Gran Torino movie, the one he did, the Gran Torino, what was it called? Gran Torino?
Yeah,
Gran Torino.
That one was awesome.
Yeah, that was a good one.
Yeah, that was a masterpiece, right? So, but he said he had this in his closet, basically, the script for 15 years, because he knew it will be a hit. And then he waited, I think, for his aging.
Oh, which movie is this one? Which one?
The Gran Torino.
Oh, really? Yeah, for 15 years he had that?
Yeah, he had that script. He had that script. And the Unforgiven, that he had that also a long time in his thing. I read an interview with him where he said when he knows he has a winner, he's using it to basically strengthen his career. You know, when he feels like, oh, shit. Maybe my career is fucked up now, and then pull out a script where he needs 100% work, and it brings him back. You know?
Yeah.
And I think that is clever. I mean, for all of us, it wouldn't really bring anything. But for him, you know, he knows if he fucks up a film, he's not in danger to never make a film again. But the next film better be a hit.
Yeah, but he does come out every couple of years, like, you know, like for every Jersey Boys, he does a good, you know, again, I call them dad movies just because I know my dad's going to cry. But if this motherfucker makes my dad cry, I'm like, okay, we're going to go see that movie. You know, every Father's Day, you put out a new Clint Eastwood movie, you know?
Yeah. No, totally. I mean, yeah. So should we talk about any politics here or what?
Oh, you want to talk about politics on 4th of July weekend?
4th of July weekend. I want to talk about what happened the other day with the Supreme Court. First, they shoot down affirmative action, and then they shoot down Biden's student loan forgiveness plan. I think that it's obvious that the Republicans, their goal is to keep people who are lower in debt so they can never really accumulate wealth. They probably said, there's too many affluent black families in my neighborhood. How can we stop this from happening? Well, you know, because I'm fucking, believe it or not, I'm fucking still paying back my goddamn student loans from 20 years to use that shot in the arm.
Yeah.
I don't know.
A lot of people I talk to about it. They're just pissed off that they had to pay it. And they're like, well, I had to do it. How come they don't do it? It's like they don't think about, like, now imagine if you didn't have to do it. You know what I mean? Like, I know you had to do it. You know what I mean? Some people had to go through a lot of shit that other people don't have to go through now. but they, I think they're more pissed off that they had to pay the money to go to college. They don't want people to go for free because they had to do it. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And I think that's really what it is. Like, well, I did it. You should do it. I'm like, yeah, but a lot of people had to do a lot of fucking things that we don't have to do anymore, you know? I don't have to shovel coal into a thing to get heat, you know? I mean, you get mad. You know what I mean? Like, come on, let's get real. It's fucking 2023.
I want to tell a very funny school story. I went to NYU, the film school there for like one semester because of names like Francis Ford. I thought, wow, I'm going to be a big filmmaker now. But I took the advice of Trent Haga, who said, if you don't need school, piece of paper, all you need to do is go out there, learn your craft, get it really down, and just go out there and make films, sort of like what you did. But when I was at NYU, there were so many people who thought that they would be the next Scorsese or Francis Ford Coppola. But that was a long time ago. And the guy who runs the NYU Film School is the director of Chud 2, Bud the Chud.
Oh my God, that's awesome.
I know. So I was like, what the fuck? All these kids, they think they're walking in there with these huge egos. They think that they're going to be the next Godfather director, and they're walking out the door working at Burger King, which is why I left. I was like, this is bullshit. And I admire people like Anthony here who did it all for himself. He was a self-made man. All these – you worked for years to get this shit made, didn't you?
Yeah, but that's the thing, too. If you go Hollywood-wise, you're like – I would make a movie with my friend. One of the first movies I ever made was called Whatever You Don't Fuck the Dead Chick. And we did it ourselves. We made it for like $1,000. We got some buzz. We got some sting. He went to Hollywood. And I was like, I'm just going to stay here. And, you know, I mean, I'm going to do my own thing, you know. Because I'm more of like a New York guy. You know what I mean? I'm more like an L.A. But he was out there. And he was out there forever. And the best he got was like a PA job. And in Hollywood, on average... Your first time, which I always feel good about myself, most directors, 45 is like the age that you get, they let you direct a movie finally. Like imagine going out there for 20 years, getting coffee, and they finally let you like make a movie. Yeah. And then you're stuck doing what they want. You don't even get to make your movie.
Yeah. No, you know, Trent Haga, I'll bring him up one more time. He moved to LA.
I love Trent.
And he's awesome. And he actually wrote a script for Lindsay Lohan. You know when she went crazy and she ran over that dude's fucked up her career? Well, he right around that time, he wrote a script and he sold it for $1 million. And
what? He still owes me $10.
And I contacted him. I'm like, holy shit. I'm like, congratulations. And then he said, they're not making the movie. And I said, that sucks. And he says, I don't give a fuck. I just got paid.
Right.
But yeah, it was supposed to be a movie about young women played by Lindsay Lohan. What was that chick from that movie, Kids?
Rosario Dawson?
Rosario Dawson. And I forgot who the third chick was. They meet a homeless guy and they take out an insurance policy on him and then, of course, they get caught. So it would have been a great film, but
Was this a comedy?
I think. Yeah.
I'm gonna say you don't know what Trent like. You can have like the darkest thing. You're like, is this a comedy?
Well, Dead Girl was pretty much a dark comedy, I think.
Yeah.
But you know, some people make it and some people don't. Either you move there and you end up living in someone's closet for 20 years, like you said, or you end up. Doing what he said, he taught me a lot of things to get myself on track, from production assistant to something or produce something. That's amazing. He's an influential guy, and I wish him nothing but the best.
You know that Alan Mastai, the guy who wrote for me Alone in the Dark, he got from Gale and Hurd $1.5 million for a book he wrote.
Wow.
Also, when I hired him for Alone in the Dark, what was, I mean, as you know, the reviews were horrible and everybody said the script was total shit. But he made it in a way. Okay,
tell us how you really feel.
Yeah, you know, exactly. And then he sold for one. When I read this, I couldn't believe it. And it was not like a script, right? He wrote a book what he sold the book rights to her for $1.5 million. But then I never heard about him again. I think the film never got done. And so you have that when Hollywood has too much money, they overpay writers a lot, you know. But I wanted to bring two other points up quick before we wrap it up for today. Is you saw that Bolsonaro from Brazil got banned running for office for 8 years, right? And he is the mini Trump, as we know. He tried to not accept the Brazil elections. And then he went to Florida, run away, basically, because he was scared he gets arrested. Then he went back to Brazil and tried to run again.
He was in Florida?
Yeah, he was in Florida.
Why does that not surprise me?
You know, where he was like, where people like journalists were in front of his house, right? And then he was friendly and whatever, but he was scared that the new Lula, whatever the Brazil president, comes in. But is it not showing that Brazil overall is more democratic like America? You know, because, I mean, look at all the joke, bullshit, Trump-like lawsuits. But the real lawsuit against Trump never came. Like, you know, he wanted a resurrection. He wanted a storm on the Capitol and would be happy if they actually would at that day took the Capitol and named him the King of America. So that he did live on camera. So, and why is that not enough to at least ban him from not running again? So I think that is it's so like the U.S. politics is so much just money, money, money. And so much this kind of, we are that great land of the free, whatever, and democratic. But they're totally not. I mean, it's so upset. All that claims, I have the feeling almost the Democrats felt we have to bring some case against Trump. But not the case about Trump, what was straight in fucking front of you. You know, it would be like a bank robber shoots a hostage and runs away, then you finally catch him and then you charge him for tax fraud.
But that is if you want to talk about America, we'd end up charging the guy who got shot. Why were you there? You should have been at work doing something to support yourself. Why are you in a bank? You got shot. It's your fault. I'm telling you this, in America, everybody loves Trump. Everyone needs Trump because the Democrats have a bad guy. The Republicans got a hero. The news channels have ratings. They love it.
Yeah.
Trump, like I said this to someone, like, Trump shouldn't be our president. He should be a talk show host. You know what I mean? Like, everybody loves Trump. Whether you hate him or you love him, you like him. You sit there and you watch for hours upon hours. The only people who listen to Trump more than the people who love him are the people who hate him.
Yeah, of course. If you assume Mike Pence would run against Joe Biden. So the TV shows with them would have no rating at all.
Right.
Give a shit. You would have two old guys talking nicely to each other. And then after 5 minutes, the ratings are to zero because everybody's saying, what the fuck is this now? I cannot watch. And then they watch like Stress in Beverly Hills or The Housewives of New Jersey. So.
Which is the way it used to be. We didn't care about politics. For some reason, all of a sudden, everybody cares about politics. And at least, as much as, I mean, I'm not a big Trump fan or anything like that, not at all, I don't, but at least he got people, even if you hate him, at least he got a lot of people in the politics who would never be in the politics because we want to make sure this guy doesn't win anymore, or people are like, he speaks for us, I like him, and they get in the politics. I feel like we talk a lot more about politics now since him. Before him, I don't feel like anybody really was. Does that make sense, right? Like, do you agree with me, Gary, or no?
I hear you.
No, but you know, the thing, what I feel is I draw the line on, like, to elect somebody who's entertaining.
Mm-hmm.
And did a few good decisions. I think a few things. Whatever, Israel, Middle East, saying like Afghanistan is a waste of money, we're pulling out. Like a lot of things he did there, I have I have sympathy for it, and I think the Democrats did a lot of stupid wars and CIA operations, whatever, and they all like came back to them like a boomerang, whatever. So, but where I draw the line is that I actually think he would like throw everybody under the bus to benefit personally from it.
Uh-huh.
So he has no empathy to nobody. Mm-mm. And only basically helps people that help him. And he doesn't see himself as serving America at all.
No, he's self-serving.
But him like that... a show, like a Celebrity Apprentice. This time, okay, I'm in the White House and I do whatever the fuck I want.
Yeah.
And that is, but that is like not the way what the world needs now.
He would make fun of people, like call some of his wives ugly. Turn someone into a speck of dust to destroy them, and then they'll turn around and like support him the next day. Which that's where you see what's his name? The guy he did it to? Whatever. But he would like all his opponents. That's why people won't run against him. Nobody wants to run against Trump because they don't want to get. Yeah, no, not DeSantis. Who's the guy? Whatever.
One of them.
People don't want to run against him because they don't want to deal with that. They don't want to sit there and have their whole lives made fun of and destroyed. They'd rather just let him go on and hope they can control him, you know? Because I feel he's very controlled.
You know what I think the Democrats need? I think they need someone who can out-riff Trump. Because honestly, one of us on stage, we could rip him apart, I'm sure. You know what I mean? Because I mean, that would be
a really good insult comic up there.
Dude, that would be great. That would be great TV. And then the Democrats would finally have somebody paying attention to their policies.
We get in trouble because Democrats don't make jokes. They don't. I don't think Democrats have a sense of humor, unfortunately.
Yeah. Things. I mean, Trump mixed everything up. Democrats need to fucking mix it up, too. They need to keep up. They can't, like, we can't keep... It's as if it was 20 years ago. It's a different time now. It's time to go. He's going to go for the jugular. You've got to go for the jugular twice. Fucking suck that shit up. You know what I mean?
Who do we need? Jeff Ross? Jeff Ross going to run for president?
Yeah.
We should have went with Bernie. I'm saying it here. I don't care. I'm a Bernie man.
Yeah, you know what the refreshing thing on Bernie Sanders is? And now he's too old also, right? But he was not too old when you see like who else is running, Trump and Biden. But I think that he had a clearer vision to really reform the country. And everything, the Democrats like Obama, Clinton, Biden, they also never want to change the whole status quo of the country. Questioning like, you know what, it's time for like real justice. For example, the student loan, right? So it's like ridiculous. It's like in US people going so much in debt to go to the college or university. Like in Europe, it costs you $100 to go to university per semester. So, and that is the thing. It's like you have here also things that are totally ridiculous, but the country knows that it's important to get like high-end people for the workforce.
Mm-hmm.
They support people going to university. They support people, they go to finish the high school and everything. So it's a little different in Canada or US. In Germany, when you're 15, you are allowed to leave the school and then you can learn a trade, you know, plumber, carpenter.
Right.
But at the same time, if you want to continue school till you're 18 and then you go to university, in Germany are no colleges. There's no colleges, just universities. And then that gives people with no money or where the parents have no money overall the same shot, like the rich people, you know? So if
but then how do you control people over there then? If everyone's equal, how do you control people? Because that's what America does. They make sure they can control you to keep you, you know, to make sure you're broke so they can have you under their thumb for the rest of your life.
But yeah, exactly. That's exactly what I said earlier.
It's a capitalist society. We hold you under the thumb. Here's why we have people here who do everything right and then die broke because they can't afford to, you know, get cancer treatment. you know?
Yeah.
Their whole lives, they sit here and work and work and think they're doing everything great, and they salute the flag every day and say the Pledge of Allegiance, and then they end up dead. Families are left with nothing because we're too selfish to go, okay, look, here's this $5 medicine, but we're going to charge you $20 million, you know?
I think these people have to experience it to understand it. Like, for example, I grew up on welfare. I grew up in Hell's Kitchen on welfare. It was fucking a tough life early on, but if you have that silver spoon in your mouth, you're not going to understand that dynamic. You're not going to really get it. And thus, these people are too selfish. They look at their own lives as if they've got that main character syndrome where they think everything is modeled on their life.
You're on total welfare. Bullshit. Why didn't you borrow some money off your maid?
I was like a little, like 7 years old. I think my mom used to be. She was working as a copy editor for like the TV Guide, and she worked her way up. We got out of there after I was probably like 11 years old. But I saw some fucking crazy shit, and I empathize with people who are in that situation because it's really hard to get your. It's really hard to dig your way out of that. I have to give my mother props for that. Having two kids with no fucking Hell's Kitchen. Having to get your way out of that. That's fucking, it's almost impossible. It's without,
tough, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
I work in a soup kitchen. I see it every, not I'm well off, but I see it every day. People who are trying and people don't understand. They're like, well, pick yourself up by your bootstraps. It's like, not that fucking easy when you have to live life, you know, it's not easy for everybody to do it, obviously. And I can't believe at this point in 2023, we still don't understand that, you know, like,
there's a lot of selfishness out there. I feel like the internet has bred self. From the time that like we last saw each other to now, the social norms have changed so fucking much. Everyone has become really just, it's all about me. I am the center. I am the God. I am the queen. And and they justify it. Like, there's only one life. YOLO. It's all bullshit. I want to help. You know what I mean? I like to help people. I'd like people to get their way. What can I do except vote the proper vote, which is, even though Biden has, you know, fucked up a little bit, I would still vote for him, the GOP.
Yeah, I mean, but we had yesterday here a little barbecue in Germany, and the right-wing party in Germany is growing, right? So they are now on 25% in polls. And so the reality is that all the media and all the other parties making indirectly that party stronger and stronger, because they basically say things that are true, but the government don't want to hear it. But the citizens are like hearing only the government telling them to this party, you fucking Nazis, whatever, you only talk bullshit. Everything is wrong. You have to see it only like how we see it, whatever the subject matter is. And that makes them stronger. You know, I give you two examples. You saw in France right now is almost a civil war going since the police shot that 17 years old guy in the car. It was a migrant, and so they stopped the car, and then they shot the guy. Now all the two, like in France, are millions and millions of Arab guys, millions and millions, and they going balloony on the streets since 3-4 days based on this incident. It's like George Floyd, right?
Right, right. But I was gonna say, was it America over there?
Yeah, but in comparison to George Floyd riots, here are 25,000 cars burned down. And when you Google it, like live news right now, like Paris and Marseille, there were like war. You know, like there were not 5 stores looted, there were like 500 stores looted. So, and they basically don't know what to do, you know, because they have this parallel country in their country, because they let all, because of the colonization, all the Algerians, Moroccans, Egypts, a lot of these territories were all French like 200 years ago. So, and then they let them all in and they do this. So now the German right-wing party says, we have also too much Syrians, Afghanistan, whatever, people in Germany. And we don't want situations like this. You know, and everybody loses their shit on them. Nazis, whatever. But they say only what the population thinks. If you see what happened in Paris, then every German will say to the right-wing party, you're totally right. We don't want that here. That is crazy. Right? So, and that is how right-wing parties grow. And the media are not portraying them fairly, so they make them even stronger because the people feel that is total bullshit. One last example to it. We were the biggest user of Russian gas on the planet Earth, Germany. So, and Germany has a lot of heavy, heavy industry, all the car factories, all the chemical giants, whatever. Like in Europe, is a lot of whatever. The French have business, the Italians, whatever. But Germany is the biggest country and has the most, like 85 million population. And it has like heavy industry, needs a lot of energy. So then we said, oh, the Russians attacked Ukraine. We're not buying Russian gas anymore. But then it turned out we need the Russian gas. So what are we doing? We're buying the Russian gas over Turkey. And it comes then from Turkey with the ships to Germany to keep it going. So, and the right-wing party, they say, is it not a total fucking joke? Why we then stopped buying, because this costs us now 40% more as to just tell Putin, put the pipeline back on, we're using your gas, right? But that is the thing where the normal population think, yeah, they are total phonies and frauds in the government that tell us we sanction Russian, but we don't. We just buy the shit from a different country, even if it comes from Russia, for 40% more of the money, and everybody gets way higher bills.
Right.
You know, so because of the price cut so much. And I think this drives people to vote for parties like this. And also in America, I think Trump is extremely good in picking this subject to get a vote. You know, we don't want everybody from Honduras going through Mexico into the America. You know, stuff like this. We need a war. We have to finish the migration. We have to basically, what he said was, I will finish the war in 24 hours. I'm the president. This is all stuff that is maybe all total bullshit, but people love it.
Right. I think it's all the way he says it, too. You know what I mean? Like, sometimes the way he talks, he could be right, but you're like, dude, do you have to say it like that? You know, like, let's bring it back a little bit, you know?
Yeah. But people think for him like a savior.
Yeah. It's ridiculous. You know, like, I can't believe it.
Like, yeah. Because it looks crystal clear that Biden cannot stop that war. You know? So, and if Trump says he figures it out in 24 hours, then a lot of people think, yeah, why not giving him a shot?
Right.
He's just going to – that's how he's going to stop the war. He's going to stop funding to the Ukraine.
Yes. I know, you know. But think about when he would get elected, end of next year. Let's say end of next year, the Ukraine war is still happening. Then everybody is so fed up with that that they totally vote for Trump. It doesn't matter what Trump is doing. They just want the end of the war. You know, I think
I'm just thinking about how much money America is making on this war, if they want it to end. You know what I mean? The real America, not me and Gary. I mean, like, you know, the people are making all the money off this fucking war.
The military machine. Yeah.
Right. We were taught in school that war brings money. WW2 profited this country more than anything in the world ever.
Well, yeah, doesn't Cheney own like a lot of stock in military facility, like manufacturing?
They all do. What the hell is it called? Sorry, it's too early for me. What's the name of that company? Halliburton. They're all in there.
But
I think you're totally right, because that companies don't care if they're getting paid by Ukraine or by America. Because right now, of course, America pays all that shit on their own and give it to Ukraine, who fighting a replacement war, what is cheaper as to actually have troops. going, right? For the US, the Ukraine war is in a way perfect because they just give them some money and they fight against Russia and keep Russia weakened and keep Russia busy.
And it's easy for, as an American, to say Russia's bad. It's really easy to say that because people can understand that. We've seen Rocky, you know? We know that's the bad guy, you know? You say Ukraine, people are like, what? You're like, okay, Rocky, you need to fight a Ukrainian so people can understand what the hell's happening here.
Rocky. One of those.
Yeah, Rambo. Remember the one Rambo where he dedicated some Bin Laden and the freedom fighters?
Afghanistan.
Three. That's pretty crazy. It shows you how politics change, huh?
Yeah, we trained them. We gave them a lot of weapons.
Okay, yeah, look.
What's in the politics? Oh, what's that? Do you want to wrap it up?
Yeah, I said we talked long enough because then otherwise the people are...
Oh, sorry. Sorry.
No, it's all good. Guys,
we draw the line. Sure we draw the line at Rambo.
His new film, it is premiering at Kevin Smith's Modcast Cinemas. What's the date?
August 11th. And it comes August out 11th. October 24th, DVD, Blu-ray, streaming, Caddy Hack. Wild Eye Releasing, yep.
If you love golfing and you love Gremlins, you're going to love Caddy Hack.
Have a good one. Bye.
Hey, thank you guys very much. Thank you very much for having me. I appreciate it. This is a lot of fun.
Yeah, we'll have you on again sometime, my friend. Thank you so much.
I hope so.
All right. Bye, guys.